I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio. And we have Mr. Larry Levin from the IMC Club, the Instrument Meteorological Conditions Club. I would have never guessed there was such a thing.
Well, you know, I've seen some interesting things in aviation. This is just another interesting side of it.
Yep. And I guess it's you guys help promote proficiency and training, because that's one of the more difficult aspects of flying.
We do. It's a wonderful organization. It's not only in the United States. It's an international organization. There are meetings held every month, and as you said, the goal is to promote aviation safety.
It's a lot of fun flying in clouds.
I don't know.
I've never done it except in a big thing where I don't have to pay attention.
Well, the one thing I have noticed about flying through clouds, I've been through a few here and there, not just commercially, but also in private aircraft. It's bumpy in there, and it's wet, too.
Oh, that's good to know.
Bumpy and wet, two things to remember.
Well, almost always wet, but you get a nice thin layer of stratus clouds. It can be smooth as silk, too, and very relaxing.
So do you guys, I mean, this is a club. You promote training and proficiency. Do you have a publication, a website?
We do. There's IMC.org is our website.
Okay.
We have monthly meetings. There are chapters, local chapters throughout the whole United States that get together once a month. And what we do is we present different scenarios of in-flight to the people in attendance.
Okay.
And it's a challenging situation. There's not a solution presented. It reaches a point in the scenario and we kind of put it out for discussion. What would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? What are your options? And we brainstorm and come up with different variables.
Okay. I would think that I've often heard, I mean, I'm not an IMC pilot. Most challenging situation is night IMC and then partial panel failure.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things with flying IMC is you have to know your own abilities. You have to have your own minimums. Are you proficient to fly IMC at night over mountains? Do you feel comfortable doing it? Do you have a plan A, B, C, and D in case something goes wrong? And those are the things you need to have, all your ducks in a line.
How much has glass cockpit technology and iPad technology and everything and GPS, how much has that changed IMC flying?
You know, you're probably asking the wrong person. I'm not really into glass cockpit. I recently did convert my GPSs to the new Avidyne 540s. If I could put a pitch in for them, they're the most fabulous boxes in the world. Honestly, it makes IFR flying so much easier. Outside of that, I have a glass Sandell HSI, but I still have my steam gauges. I still have a vacuum pump. I've been so proficient flying those for 30 years. I just don't see a need to go into the glass cockpit. I feel extremely comfortable with what I have.
Okay, that's a valid point. Besides the point that it can be expensive to upgrade, how often do you fly IFR?
I fly not necessarily in IMC conditions, but I'll fly either simulated or actual almost every single flight I take. If I have someone I can grab to put a hood on, I will. That's the only way to stay proficient. I'm a fanatic when it comes to that. I don't know if I have a lack of self-confidence or what you would call it, but I want to be sure that I can, to the best of my ability, handle every single situation that's presented to me. And so I'm constantly putting a hood on. Every single trip I make ends in an approach with a hood on, as long as I have a safety pilot. So I do fly an inordinate amount of instrument approaches per year. And an example, there was a very tragic accident near my home airport just last week. A Baron had an engine failure in IMC. Cloud bases were about 800 feet.
Ooh.
Nowhere to go. Went into a house. The people in the house survived, but no one on board the aircraft survived. And, you know, when something like that happens, you start thinking, you know, what would I do? Aviation does have some risk, and you have to be able to manage your risk. So a couple days after the accident, I went up with my instructor, and I said, put me through that scenario. Don't tell me where we're going. We're on a flight plan, and at some point, tell me I have a partial engine failure, and then 15 seconds later, you have a total engine failure, and do it. And what are you going to do? And he told me when I broke out of the clouds. It's not an easy thing to manage. I was able to do it, but those are the things you have to constantly work on so that when it happens, you know what to do.
Yeah, and it becomes it has to be second nature.
Has to be second nature.
Yeah, you don't have time to think and run through your head a whole lot.
No, nearest airport airspeed, it's always easy to second guess, but the mistake that I feel that this pilot made is at first he had a partial engine failure, and so he told ATC he wanted to continue on another 20 miles to the airport he was going to and shoot the approach. He happened to be right over my airport at the time.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, he should have just said.
You hate to second guess, because when you're in a situation like that, you don't know how you'll react.
Right.
And so I wanted to be put in that situation.
Yeah, and you don't know. When you say partial engine failure, that means it coughed and sputtered and then came back?
Yeah, he didn't have full power. He was losing altitude, but he was offering some benefit at that point.
Right, and then, of course, it got worse because mechanical things do that.
Yeah, usually when you have a partial power failure, you're heading towards a total failure. That I would automatically assume off the bat. You know, that engine, the right one didn't make it. The other one isn't either, to quote a movie. But, no matter what's going on, if you've got an engine problem, the safest place to be, of course, is on the ground.
Absolutely. And as soon as possible.
At the airport.
Preferably, but not necessarily.
Right.
Well, even if you can hit a field, that's better
than nothing. Or a highway.
There
have been a lot of forced landings lately on highways.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one scenario that ATC pointed out to this particular pilot when he knew he wouldn't make an airport. They said Route 495 is 6 miles away, but unfortunately at that point he couldn't make that either.
Did he lose control of the aircraft? Did he drop below minimum single engine speed?
The NTSB
just ran out
has
of
not.
Altitude.
Yeah, he did run out of altitude. I don't think he stalled it in, but by the time he broke out of the clouds at 800 feet, he had limited options.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that kind of scenario with both engines going.
Yeah.
That's not much. That's, you know, I guess minimums being what they are, you have to know when you divert to another airport.
I was going to say, you break out at 800 feet.
You don't have a lot of time.
With an engine problem, you are critically short on time.
No, I agree.
And if you come out of that disoriented as to exactly where you are, you're not going to have time to figure it out. So that's not a good thing.
No, it isn't.
So definitely do you guys have like contests and things like that?
No contests, no.
Aw.
that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, get a good flight simulator, set up some scenarios, and see who can do the best or the fastest or whatever.
And, you know, that's another question that comes to mind. You know, when the weather is really bad out or you just don't feel like going out in the airplane, do you have a computer simulator at home that you can play with?
I do, and I use it. My FBO, coincidentally, has just ordered a beautiful touch screen simulator at Oshkosh this year. So we'll have it up and running in about another month or so.
So your flight simulator at home has a seat out of an F-16?
No, it's actually configured exactly like my Trinidad. It's got the Sandell, it's got the same GPSs, the same airspeed, so it's very realistic for the way I fly.
Right, just drop in, literally. That's
well, you know,
cool.
That's the one thing that's great about having a simulator like that. Now, Microsoft, of course, you know, disavows any knowledge of anybody using it as a training aid. But I've heard from so many people that they actually will sit down and sometimes fly the flight plan that they're going to do if they've never done it before, right on the simulator, just to get familiar
with it. You can put the exact flight plan in, you can put in the weather that you want there, and you can even tell the sim to fail certain instruments randomly at different times so that you don't know what's coming. Very good. The aircraft doesn't fly like your aircraft, but that's not the point. The point is mentally thinking through the process and knowing what to do, when to do it.
That's right. Because, you know, any kind of flying, it's only 10% motor skills. It's 90% brain power.
Right.
You know, you're thinking.
You're flying along in IMC, and suddenly conditions get far worse than you were told they were or you thought they were going to be. I mean, what do you do now? When do you make a decision? I mean, you do the standard 180-degree turn because you only know what's behind you kind of thing?
A good instrument pilot wouldn't be in a situation where suddenly it gets worse. You're always looking ahead 50 miles, 100 miles, 200 miles, listening to PIREPs, in touch with flight service, in touch with ATC. So you do know what's coming down the line. If all of a sudden you're caught in a situation you weren't expecting, you weren't really prepared the way you should be.
Okay.
But, yeah, the 180-degree turn is always an option. In the wintertime, when there's potential icing, a change of altitude is always an option. And nearest airport is always an option.
Okay. Have you ever gotten into icing that was worse than they said it would be?
No. I really quite fearful of icing. I try to stay out of icing as much as I can. I'll stay out in between layers. I'll try to climb on top, but I will not stay in the clouds in the wintertime below freezing temperatures.
That's okay. The one thing that scares me about IMC is ice. I was on a Bonanza flight one time, and we started picking up ice. And, you know, it was getting to the point where I was going to mention it to my pilot, and he said, he called ATC, and they said, we can't give you a better altitude unless we turn you. And he said, all right, we'll take the turn. And we got out of the ice. Fortunately, it hadn't, you know, really accumulated on the aircraft, but it was getting there.
Yeah, I've seen it, and the best time to do something about that is the second you see it.
Yep.
In other words, don't hesitate thinking it's going to get better.
Yeah, we'll, you know, in 15 minutes I'll recheck it, see what's happening.
Yeah, we'll punch through this or whatever, yeah.
Exactly.
And too many cases of people that have been brought down by ice by thinking exactly like that. Oh, we'll be all right for the next 15 minutes.
No, the best story I heard was a guy riding on an airplane with the I guess it was the CEO of the company he was working with, a little four-place, and they're punching through a thunderstorm.
Ooh.
And everybody else is going around the storm, and this guy's going to go through the storm. And at one point, they hear a radio call, like to the effect of air traffic control, I want to divert you around this, but we got this one guy going through it. And the CEO's reaction was, hey, look at that, they're talking about us. Like, oh, great. Geez. I don't think I want to be on this airplane.
The thing with flying instruments, and it's no different than anything else really in life, it's being proficient to the best of your ability at whatever you do. And it can be an innate thing. In my case, I'm just driven that way. I think my father taught me that way. And it doesn't have to only be aviation. It can be you're a painter, you're an artist, you're a doctor, whatever it happens to be. I mean, not to brag, my wife and I have three beautiful children, all very self-motivated. One is an attorney in New York City, started his own business, went back to a law firm, extremely motivated, extremely talented. A daughter who had extremely challenging situation for the last year, went through what no person should really have to go through, but didn't quit, fought, came out the other side. And I have a son who's going into a senior year in high school, class president, honor student, baseball player, wants to play college baseball. This is something that every pilot can do. You just have to drive yourself to excellence.
And leave no stone unturned.
And leave no stone unturned.
Any question that pops in your head, make sure you answer it.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Okay. You've got to be pre-tuned to the what-if scenario.
All the time.
Right. What if the guy in front of you stops short? Oh, that's different.
It's his fault.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I want to thank you for joining us. Where can we find out more about your club?
IMC. Radek is the president.
All right. Very good. And a website.
IMCclub.org.
Oh, okay. IMCclub.org. Remember that. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.